One thing I'd like to speak about today is that, you know, as we know that we're only 14 months away from the end, Judgment Day begins, and it's a very frightening thing to think about, especially if you know you're not a child of God. But we know that although we're so close to the end of the world, when Judgment Day begins, salvation is still possible. You know, we know that we could still have our sins forgiven, because God is still saving a great multitude. And he may be someone here who's not saved. And we have to keep that in mind, that God is still saving sinners. God is very patient. He's very merciful. The Bible tells us that he's full of compassion. And all these things that he tells us about himself. And how wonderful it is that he's still saving sinners. We know that God is, he's very patient. He's been putting up with man for the last 13,000 years. You know, it talks about patience. You know, he has been patient with us, and it's not as if man is getting any better. As we look at the world, we see sin is multiplying. Sin is multiplying. You see, the family has been destroyed, and you see, look in society, it says man is living in open rebellion against God, and you know, God is just preparing the world for judgment. But we know that God is very patient with his people, with his elect. For instance, in Psalm 136, verse 1, God tells us, "Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." And you just read through the whole chapter, and God is speaking about his mercy and his grace. But we know that his mercy and his grace goes on forever, not for the unsaved, but for those who are truly saved. God's mercy goes on forever with his people. You know, God's mercy with mankind in general is not an open-ended thing. Sooner or later, God's mercy, his patience, his kindness will come to an end for the unsaved of the world. And we know that is only 426 days away. You see, but with the child of God, God's mercy goes on throughout eternity. And that day now for the world is quickly coming to an end. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 17. He speaks about his mercy upon his people. He says, "But the mercy of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." It's not upon everyone. Upon them that fear him, upon his people. Upon his people. Unsaved of the world, don't fear God, as we read in Romans 3. God clearly tells us there is no fear of God before the eyes of the unsaved. He thinks he could live as he pleases. And he's going to get away with it, or whatever he's thinking. But we know it's not so. But God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. You see, his patience and his mercy is a wonderful thing, and that's what we desperately need. If you're not a child of God, we desperately need God's favor, his mercy upon us. And wonderfully in our day, that mercy is still available to the world. It won't be found in the churches anymore, but God is still saving a great multitude, as we know, yet in our day. And when you look, for instance, in the days of Noah, we see his patience with the people of that day, as he used Noah to build the ark for 120 years. God was patient with them, patient with these people. And as we know in the Bible, that God tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He would have told the people of his day that God is about to destroy the world by a flood. And you see the patience of God. You see his mercy, that he raised up this prophet Noah, and he warned the people of his day what he's about to do. And as we know, that no one listened. And it came a point where his patience came to an end. The flood did happen, and he did destroy the people of that day. And you know, these things God tells in the Bible is written for our learning. As we living in our day, we should look back at how God operated in the past, how he brought judgment, how he destroyed the people of Noah's day, and we should learn. Now, in God's mercy, he tells us what he's about to do, just like he did when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He warned them. You see how God is gracious? It's God's mercy that in our day, he has let us know what he's about to do. Are we listening to it? Are we a reaction? You know, many people are scoffing at this. Could be people in our own families. Could be our children. It could be an unsaved wife. It could be an unsaved husband. We're scoffing. Oh, they're lined up. Scoffing at this information in the Bible that, oh, this can't be so. Some, there are those who hear this information of coming judgment. It goes in one ear and out the next. They pay no attention to it. And it's God's mercy. You know, they do hear it. And it has no effect. They continue on with their lives. They're planning their wedding. They're planning a vacation. All of this stuff. It's God's mercy and his patience. But we know in a few short months, in 14 months, God's patience with man will come to an end. Judgment day begins. The door is shut. Just like in the days of Noah. God shut the door to the ark. You see the final, he shuts it. That means all those who were on the outside perished. The day of mercy in that day was over. It came to an end. You see, and we're headed very quickly towards that day. Read that in Genesis 7. In Genesis 7, verse 13, I believe. Genesis chapter 7, verse 13, and we're going to read up to, I believe it's verse 16. In Genesis chapter 7, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Jehovah shut him in. That was it. Jehovah shut him in. That means all the people of that day who didn't listen to the warning from Noah, they were outside the ark. They were outside there. See, they didn't listen. And this is one of the problems with man. We don't listen. We don't listen. You know, and here God is telling us that God himself shut the door. And we know come May 21st, 2011, when Judgment Day begins, that door of salvation is shut. No more mercy. No more salvation. No one else is going to become saved in that day. You see, and let's go down to verse 21. Genesis 7:21. And God is going to emphasize to us. He's going to repeat himself in verse 21 and 23. In verse 21 of Genesis 7, and all flesh died, all flesh that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man who wasn't in the ark. Every man, everything that had the breath of life outside the ark died. Everything. Total destruction. And it goes on. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and of all that was in the dry land died. Everything. And every living substance was destroyed. Every living substance, everything was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And only Noah remained alive, and they that were in the ark. See, in verse 21, at the last is every man. And in verse 23, God emphasizes again, both man and cattle, everything perished. Everything was destroyed. God was patient with them. God was patient. He warned them. But as we know that, we don't listen. We don't listen. You know, no one's going to tell me what to do. You know, people have the attitude. But here, God in His mercy, He warns. He warns. And He let us know what He was about to do. But as we know that, in our day, which we're so close to the end, God is still forgiving people of their sins. There is forgiveness with God. Salvation is still possible. For instance, if you look at, go back over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Psalm 103, verses 8 and 9. Here we read, Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. This is still available today. He's telling us something about Himself. Although that we're so close to the end, He tells us that He's merciful, He's gracious, He's slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And this mercy is still available in our day. And He says in verse 9, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. God will not always hold back. That day came when He did destroy the earth by a flood. You see, He won't always hold back. The day comes when He will punish the unsaved of the world for their iniquities. And we know that day begins on May 21st, 2011, and end in October 21st, 2011. He will not always hold back. Or you may be hearing the gospel all your life, the true gospel, and the day comes when God takes your life and you die in your sins. You see, he's patient. Again and again, he'll share the gospel with you. You have somebody or you have a parents who are praying for you, and it could be a child that's being prayed for, and didn't listen. And they're driving down the highway and is killed in an auto accident. And their fate is sealed. You see, God is patient. But we know that His patience with the world won't last forever. It will come to an end. And we know what at May 21st, it ends. And how horrible it will be for those who are left here on that day of judgment. It's going to be the worst thing ever. Our little minds, you know, we can't begin to understand that. Because God tells us that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a horrible thing. You see, and there are those who are just taking it lightly. You know, they mock. They scoff at this information from the Bible. They don't realize what you're doing. God is an infinite God. There is no limit to His understanding. There is no searching out of His wisdom. His power goes on out in the infinity. And you want to turn your back on such an awful God, an awesome God as this? And here He's written the Bible, and He has provided salvation, and He's been so patient with us, and He's tell us what He's about to do, and you're not going to listen to it? You see, but the root cause of all this is pride. Man in his pride thinking that he's wiser than God, and we're not. We should know our place. You see, we're nothing but dust and ashes, so to speak. That's what we are. You know, the only thing that is guaranteed to us in this life is our next breath. Once He takes it from you, what can you do? You're dead. And if you die in your sins, all possibility for salvation is over. It's over. Let's look again. Let's turn over to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. God is going to tell us more about His great patience. Verses 15 to 17. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. God is full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn me. You see how, if you know you're not saved, how we could go and beseech God for His forgiveness. It's not a guarantee that He's going to save me, but at least I'm making my request be made known to Him. He says, oh, turn me. We're asking God to turn me, you see, because if you look at Jeremiah 31:18, God has to turn me. And here's the sinner, oh, turn me and have mercy upon me. You see, give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. You see, that's we're beseeching God because we've read in the Bible that God is a merciful God. You see, and we're beseeching God, oh Lord, turn me, turn me. It's like in Isaiah 55, and that God tells us, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him. When you're calling upon God, you're beseeching Him for His mercy. You see, we're beseeching Him. There may be those, oh, you don't have to do it, but God instructs us to do so. It's just like the publican and the Pharisee that went into the temple to pray. He was beseeching God. Oh God, have mercy upon me, I'm a sinner. See, we're beseeching Him because we know that, as we read in the Bible, that He is plenteous in mercy. He's full of compassion. And we're saying, oh Lord, turn me unto Thee, because we know that we can't do it of ourselves. And Psalm 111, you know, we know that His mercy is still available to in our day, that He's full of compassion and mercy. Let's read verse 1, Psalm 111. It says, praise ye Jehovah. I will praise Jehovah with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of Jehovah are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. You know, that reminds me, you know, there are those who have pleasure in searching out the Word of God, His people. We take pleasure in searching out the Word of God. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. Jehovah is gracious and full of compassion. And you're beseeching Him for His mercy. O Lord, turn me to Thyself. And we're thinking about these verses in the Bible, how gracious and merciful He is. And this grace is still available today. He is still saving a great multitude. Could be me if you're not saved. It could be you if you're not a child of God. And you see, but we also know that time is running out. Time is of the essence. See, exactly 14 months from now, Judgment Day begins. It will begin. And the day of mercy is over. You see, and I'm pretty sure that on that day, then the unsaved of the world who were scoffing, then they will begin to know that Jehovah, He is God, that the Bible was right all along and they were wrong. And they will be crying out for mercy, but there will be no more mercy. God will not hold His anger forever. That day comes, the door is shut, the true believers have been caught up to be with Christ, and they themselves are left behind. You see, so, and then even before that, how do you know you're going to live to see tomorrow? You don't know that. Any one of us could die in death tonight, tomorrow, next week, before the end of the year. We don't know that. God doesn't tell us the day of your death. He doesn't do that. It is only known to God. You don't know. So it's a terrible thing to walk around in this life without Christ. He tells us the end of the world when Judgment Day begins. He tells us that, but he doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us how long you're going to live. He doesn't do that. So with that knowledge, how should we be living our life? If you know you're not saved, you should be beseeching Him every day. You can never wear out our welcome before God. You could go again. You hear about judgment day. You start getting nervous. Your heart is beating out your chest. Go to God. Lay it all out before Him. He understands. Because we know He's gracious. There's nothing He doesn't understand. You know, your uncertainties, or you're not sure of your salvation. Oh, you know, beseech Him. Go to Him again and again and again. And you bring to Him words, His word. Oh, Lord, I read in Your word that You are gracious, that You are merciful. Oh, Lord, could it be that You may be gracious to me, undeserving as I am? We don't deserve it. We deserve, all of us here deserve to be left behind on that day of judgment and totally be destroyed. We deserve to be destroyed by God. But we know that there is forgiveness with God, that He may be feared. God is a merciful God, you see. But we know that He won't hold back. He won't always hold back His anger. The time comes when He will punish the unsaved. And on October 21st, He is going to destroy them forever. You know, God asks us the question, why will you die, you house of Israel? Why? And God has given to us such a wonderful salvation. And He is, the blessings for the true believers just goes on and on and on and on and on. As you read in the Bible, how we're going to reign with Him forever. And all these things, you know, we those who are truly saved, can say, I don't deserve it. I don't know why You saved me. Now, those who have truly become saved, you know, we can't, God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't make a difference whether you live in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, or you have an IQ of 200, or you live in a mansion. That's nothing. The most important thing, the number one priority in our life ought to be, am I ready to meet God when He comes? Or whether He comes for me in death, tomorrow or next week. It's not whether I'm going to graduate high school, and there are a lot of kids here, or whether I'm going to get married, or I don't have this or that. That's not the issue. I'm pretty sure in the days of Noah, there were people, smart people, people going to school with that day, and all these things they were doing. They were people, just like us. You know, the Bible clearly tells us what they were doing before the flood. They were marrying, eating, drinking, everyday thing that we do. People were going about their work. They were doing everything. They're people just like we are. And the flood came. And God interrupted that. He interrupted their life and brought it to an end. And so He will do on May 21st, 2011. Doesn't make a difference what you're doing, what your plans are. God will interrupt your life. You see, because God is God. And He is going to bring judgment. True believers will be taken out in that day. And those who are left behind will have to face the wrath of God. And then, eventually, they will be destroyed. Let's look at Psalm 130. Because it doesn't matter how bad you've sinned, and you know, people have all sorts of excuses. You know, I've done this, I've done that. Yes, we all are sinners. You know, there's not one of us who's not a sinner. You see, and they have all these excuses. I've done this bad thing, and how could God forgive me? You know, excuses. But let's read Psalm 130, the entire verses. Out of the depth have I cried unto Thee, O Jehovah. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. We're supplicating before God. And oh Lord, have mercy upon me. You see, I'm a sinner. Have mercy. You see, if Thou, Jehovah, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Not one of us. Not one of us. But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. In our day, as we're right up against the end of the world, there is forgiveness with God. God could save somebody in an instant, just like that. says, faith cometh by hearing, not by understanding, by the word of God. Or else there wouldn't be any hope for an unborn baby or infant. You see, there is forgiveness with God. No matter how terrible you've sinned, yes, although we're so close to the very end of the world, salvation is still possible. You see. Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for Jehovah. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. There's great hope for those who are not saved. We're hope in his mercy. We're hoping in God's word, because God is the essence of hope. You see, we wait. You know you're not saved. We have great hope that God might save me. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in Jehovah. For with Jehovah there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Israel of God. So there is a great hope for those who are crying out and waiting upon God for mercy. We wait. We wait. We pray and we wait. We can't manipulate God in any way. We can't make him do anything. We can't demand of him to save me, as Chris did the other day about the 50 men with Elijah. When they demand him to come down here. No, we don't do that. Yeah, we don't demand nothing from God. We come humbly before him. As Brother Camping say, up on our bellies before God, recognizing that we don't deserve anything from him. And we just beg for mercy, because we know that there is forgiveness with him. You see, look at this wonderful verse here too in Lamentation. Lamentations chapter 3. I love these verses. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Verse 21. Here's the person. They're frightened out their skin. They're not sure of their salvation. They're begging God for mercy. And here we read in verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. What has he recalled to his mind? That God is gracious. He might save me. I don't know. He recalls it to his mind, and he goes on in verse 22. It is Jehovah's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You see, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. There's great hope for somebody who's waiting upon God for mercy and beseeching him for his mercy. Jehovah is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Jehovah. We wait. We pray and we wait. With no demands, nothing. Can anyone do this? Of course. Can a child do this? Of course he can. You see, God can save anyone. Whether this person has some kind of disability or handicapped, or can never speak a word, were born this way, never speak a word in their life. But yet that child is under the hearing of the word of God, and God can save that person. It has nothing to do with how many Bible knowledge you have or what you understand about. There are many people who can talk very learnedly about salvation, and yet they're going to be left behind in that day of judgment. It doesn't come with how much you understand or what your doctrinal stance or whatever you understand. No. Salvation is something God does, you see. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. God tells us there that when he has saved us, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. God here speaks about salvation. He says, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were risen with him through the faith of the operation. That word operation is the word working. Because God is the one who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. It said, through the faith and working of God, who has raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when He is forgiving you, and this is still possibly in our day, so no matter how much you've sinned, when you become a child of God, all your sins are forgiven. You could sin the most horrible acts that you wouldn't want anyone to know. When you have become a child of God, all your sins are forgiven. And it's still available in our day. And in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting is that He wipes out your sin. He wipes it all out when you have become saved. And how wonderful that is. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing to His cross. And God goes on. And we know all this was done from the foundation of the world. He wipes out all our sins. Wipes it all out. You know, what a wonderful God He is. And He forgets it. He forgets it. It's all gone. Let's look at a couple of verses that has to do with He wipes away all our sins when we become saved. Let's look at a couple of verses in Acts. Turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, I believe. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore. Remember now, repentance is a gift of God. He has to give you repentance. You see, we have to turn away from our sins, but that doesn't save us. See, God has to give us true repentance. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. See, He wipes it all out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You see, He wipes it all out. When He gives you repentance, remember, God does all the work of saving you. And He wipes our sins away forever. It tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You see, and I can't emphasize enough that this forgiveness is still possible in our day. God is still forgiving people of your sins. You see, this is impossible with us. But all things are possible with God. So we have to go to God and beseech of Him that He might save us. Isaiah 44:21. Here He tells us, this, verse 21 and 22. He says, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blot out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. O sing, ye heavens, for Jehovah hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For Jehovah hath redeemed Jacob, and glorify Himself in Israel." He has blot out our transgression as a thick cloud when we become a child of God. And God doesn't save us because He sees something good in us or something like that. No, because we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat together. We're saved to praise and glory of God. He does it to glorify Himself. You see, He does it to glorify Himself. You read Ephesians 2. We were saved to the praise and glory of God. You see, there's no reason why He should save any one of us. Not one of us. He does it to glorify Himself. You see, look at Isaiah 43. One last verse. Let me read one last verse here. Isaiah 43, verse, I think it's verse 25. It says, God speaking about himself, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, for his own sake, and will not remember thy sins. He won't remember it. The sins of when he truly saves a person, he has done it for his own sake. Nothing about me. You know, I'm the worst. There is a sinner, you know. But you're saved, and you know wonderfully this wonderful grace. You can still have your sins be blotted out today before it's too late. That day is fast approaching. 14 months away. As we all know, 426 days away, when this won't be possible any longer. So if you're not taking seriously the warning from the Bible, that judgment day is almost here. Life is not all fun and games, children. You know, because that day, children, I have four children of my own. If that day comes, children, and you're not saved, and you're left behind, and you see mom and dad is caught up to be with Christ, mom and dad won't be here to comfort you. You have to face the wrath of God on your own. On your own. Because the parents are not responsible for the sins of their children. Or either way. You see, so I hope that you children are taking seriously and listening to the Bible. Life is not all games and toys and friends and hanging out and going to the mall and all these things. In that day of judgment, all that doesn't matter. It won't mean a thing. You see, judgment day will be here. And that October 21st, you will be destroyed. Yeah, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that today is still the day of salvation.